How many of y'all have ever seen that? Most of us have. As you know, in that Christmas special, Charlie Brown becomes confused as to what Christmas is all about, because he sees that Snoopy's focus is all about winning prizes for Christmas decorations. Lucy is convinced that Christmas is being run by an Eastern syndicate who is in it for the money, and the Christmas play that he is trying to direct has no meaning for all the children involved. And so to try to illustrate the real meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown goes and he picks out a fat, ugly, small Christmas tree whose needles are falling out even as the tree is moved. And he says, "This is the tree I want to decorate." And of course, all the kids laugh at him as he's doing so, and he cries out, "Doesn't anybody know what Christmas is all about?" And while all the other kids are laughing even harder at Charlie Brown, Linus in the background quietly replies, "Yes, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And then he quotes the angel's words in Luke 2:11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." I think one of the things that Charles Schulz was trying to do through his very special Christmas show is describe what happens all too often today. You see, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to this earth and gave us the gift of Jesus Christ so He could set us free from our sins and once again become the children of God. But as the centuries have passed, we've taken that precious gift, we've wrapped it up in lots and lots of beautiful paper, we've surrounded it with sentimental cards, we've buried it with a variety of traditions such as the Christmas tree and the ornaments and the decorations of the house and the family dinner and, of course, Santa Claus and his reindeer. And it's often these extra traditions and extra Christmas things that we do at this time of the year that keep us so busy and so tired and just so overwhelmed that we forget to focus on the original reason for Christmas. And so today we just want to examine six words out of Luke 2:11 to once again remind ourselves in the midst of all of our busyness why we celebrate Christmas. The first two words that we're going to look at in Luke 2:11 are the words "for you" or "unto you," depending upon the version that you have. Those two words were spoken to a group of shepherds by an angel that God sent to announce the birth of Christ on this earth. Now, in most pictures today, shepherds are pictured as peaceful, very quiet, sometimes even semi-religious men. But that really was not the case 2,000 years ago. In those days, shepherds were considered to be the bottom of the barrel when it came to jobs, because no one wanted to be a shepherd if they had any choice in the matter. As such, they were the butt of everyone's jokes. "Hey, did you hear the one about the shepherd who?" Or they were the ones that parents warned their children about. "If you don't eat your vegetables, you're going to grow up and be like one of those shepherds." Shepherds had such a poor reputation that they were not allowed to testify in a court of law because their word was considered so unreliable. Because their job kept them from going to the temple on the Sabbath, they tended to be very unreligious or non-religious individuals. And rather than peaceful men, probably the closest in our society that we might find in the Old West, the outlaws that hung around, those were probably what the shepherds were most like, because they had to be rough, unsavory people to battle both the elements, other shepherds, and the wild animals in order to protect the flock. Now, I mention all that because it just shows how unusual it was that when God chose to announce the birth of His Son, He did it to a group of people that others thought were probably the bottom of the barrel, the most unreliable, the poorest reputation, the ones that no one else wanted their children to be like. You see, most people expected that when God would announce the news of His Son, He would announce it to people like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, proud religious people who were the leaders of their society. Just think what would have happened if God had done that. The Pharisees would have patted themselves on the back and being so honored by God, they would have started some type of Christmas club that only the elite could belong to. But then Christianity would not have become a religion, a relationship instead that it is today. Because you see, Christianity was never designed for the elite. It was designed for the unreliable, for the bottom, for the down and out, for the least deserving, for the everyone else of our society. And that's exactly who Christ showed His news, God chose to share His news to. And so, by announcing His birth to the shepherds, Christmas reminds us that God loves all of us. 2,000 years ago, God didn't care what the shepherds had done in the past. He didn't care what their reputation was like. It was His way of saying, I love you. Today, the words "for unto you" mean that same thing to you and I. God doesn't care about our past. He doesn't care about our reputation. He doesn't care about anything we may have done. But those words mean that I love you. And that is the message He wants us to receive this year. The third and fourth words that also help us remember what Christmas is all about are the words "a Savior." Most images of Christ at Christmas show a baby lying in a manger. And while we can and should be thankful that Jesus, as the Son of God, was also fully human and came to this earth as a baby, we also need to remember that the angels that night did not announce the birth of a baby, but they announced the birth of a Savior. "For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior." And I would suggest that the words "a Savior" are the least appealing words of the Christmas story in our society today. Because the words "Savior" have definite implications that cannot be ignored. Think about it. If the angels had said, "For unto you there has been born a helper," no one would mind who Jesus is, because all of us need a little help once in a while. If the angels had said, "For unto you there has been born a teacher," again, no one would have cared who Jesus was, because all of us need to be taught more about life. And if the angels had even said, "For unto you has been born a great man," people wouldn't care about Jesus, because all of us need a role model, a mentor to look up to. But the words "a Savior" are different, because they tell us that we need someone more than help, more than education, more than a good example. We need someone to save us for the simple reason that we cannot save ourselves. I learned this lesson the hard way when I was 11 years old. At that time, I was a very competent diver. And I would go to the military base and I'd go off a high dive for hour after hour. I was also a little bit of a character, so the lifeguards pretty much learned to ignore me. Because I would often joke around with them. One day I was trying a particularly difficult dive. First time I'd ever tried it. I should have had my coach with me, but he wasn't, and I thought I could do it by myself. I didn't tuck as much as I was supposed to, and when I extended my body, instead of going head in first, Because I hadn't touched as much, I wasn't as fully around as I should. When I extended and I hit my back, my head, my legs, and my bottom all perfectly flat on the water. It stunned my nervous system so much that I could not move my arms and legs, and I began sinking under the water. Now, I wasn't drowning, but I wasn't swallowing any air as I was going underwater either. And of course, because of my reputation at the pool, the lifeguard just thought I was goofing off. He just sat there on the chair, and he did not make a move towards me. At that moment, I did not need someone how to help coach my diving technique. I didn't need someone to teach me how to swim. I didn't need a great Olympic model to look up to as a role model. I needed someone who would save me. Thankfully, that day, my older brother just happened to be at the pool, and he knew that I wasn't fooling around, and so he dived in, and he helped pull me to the side, and I was okay. Today, we live in a world where we are drowning in the depths of our sins which separate us from God. And no matter how good a swimmer we may be in that pool, sooner or later, the weight of our sins is going to pull us under and kill us. And that is why our need today, our greatest need, is not for a helper, it's not for a teacher, it's not for a role model to look up to. It's for someone to get into that water with us who will save us, who will save us by taking the weight of our sins away. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he came to be our Savior. And if he is not yet your Savior, we are going to have an invitation hymn at the end of the message, and we encourage you to come forward and learn how he can be your Savior. The fifth and sixth words that we're going to look at this morning that remind us of what Christmas is all about. Again, two words that don't appeal to many in our culture are the words, the Lord. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Each year that we listen to the Christmas story, we face a danger that we may not even be aware of, and that is the danger of familiarity. How many times in your life have you heard the Christmas story? Count them on one hand, two hands, both toes, all toes, even more than that. How many times have you heard about why Christ was born? Now, again, the answer for us is more than we can realize for most of us. And yet, the more we hear the story, the easier it is not to hear it anymore. And so, when that happens, the more likely we grasp the significance of the two words, the Lord. You see, those words were not spoken accidentally or haphazardly or spontaneously. They were words that God had instructed an angel to say because we needed to hear them for a good reason. The image of Jesus, of a beautiful, innocent baby, is well and good. But that's not the reason that Jesus came to this earth. You and I can ooh and ah over newborns today and love them and cuddle them. But again, that's not who Jesus is. The baby born in that manger is the same Jesus who would go to the cross some 33 years later. It was through his resurrection that Jesus proved himself to be the Lord of life and King of kings. And because he is Lord, Jesus promises that one day he is returning to this earth as that Lord in the fullness of the glory of who he was in the kingdom of heaven before he came to this earth the first time. Revelation 19, John wrote these words, and I want you to see how they contrast to the image of the baby born in the manger that we tend to symbolize this Christmas. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can be thankful that Jesus was born as a baby whose mother put him to sleep that night. But let us never forget that same baby is also our Lord. And his authority as Lord of Lords and King of Kings demands not just our warm feelings towards him, not just our adoration, not just voices raised in Christmas carols, but more importantly, our wholehearted obedience to him and to every word he has said to us in the Bible. When we look at the way that Christmas is celebrated in our culture, it's easy for us to be like Charlie Brown in that Christmas special, and for us to become confused as to what Christmas is all about. When we see the way our neighbors focus on the decorations and all the extras that surround Christmas, like Snoopy did. We see people becoming cynical because they're so caught up in the materialism, like Lucy was. It'd be easy for us just to wonder, like the rest of Charlie Brown's friends, is Christmas just another day that we can have off of work? But just when we wonder what Christmas is all about, it's those words which the angels spoke that Christmas morning, those same words which Linus quietly reminded Charlie Brown about, those same words which the angels said, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Those words still powerfully remind us that of the many Christmas gifts we'll be opening in the next week to come, the most important gift is the gift of Jesus Christ. And while I want you to just celebrate every gift given to you in the spirit in which it is given, maybe it'd be also time to just remind ourselves of that gift of Jesus. And when we do, rather than missing out on Christmas, we'll experience the most greatest Christmas we've ever had. Because we know that Christ has come to this earth to save us from our sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the entire Christmas season, because it is a time in which even our society is open to the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that it is at no other time of the year. And so while we can enjoy the decorations and the tree and the gifts and the lights and the parties and the wrapping paper and the many other things that we have added to this season, help us to find the time to focus on that child, that Lord, that King that you sent to rule our lives. We ask in your Son's name. Like we mentioned, if you have not experienced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him to be in charge of your life, your whole life, to follow him, we're going to offer you that opportunity and just encourage you to come forward. If you have questions that we can teach you from the Bible what being a Christian is all about, Jeff and Rachel are going to come forward. They're going to lead us in the invitation hymn. Let's go ahead and stand at this moment. And if you have that decision to share with us, come forward and do so during the singing of this song.